Adi Leela, Chapter 7, Text 120. Already? So, as well as reading the board, please listen to me as I say the words, because it's not phonetic. And I know how to pronounce Bengali. Eno jiva tatta loya liki para tatta. Achana karelo shrishta ishara mahatta. Eno jiva tatta loya liki para tatta. Achana karelo shrishta ishara mahatta. Translation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking to Prakashananda Saraswati and his followers in Varanasi 500 odd years ago. The Mayavad philosophy is so degraded that it has taken the insignificant living entities to be the Lord, the Supreme Truth, thus covering the glory and supremacy of the Absolute Truth with monism. Purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments in this connection that in all Vedic scriptures, the jiva tattva, the truth of the living entities, is mentioned to be one of the energies of the Lord. If one does not accept the living entity to be a minute, infinitesimal spark of the Supreme, but equates the jiva tattva with the Supreme Brahman or Supreme Personality of Godhead, it must be understood that his entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding. Unfortunately, Sripad Shankaracharya purposely claimed the jiva tattva or living entities to be equal to the Supreme God. Therefore, his entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding, and it misguides people to become atheists whose mission in life is unfulfilled. The mission of human life, as described by the Bhagavad Gita, is to surrender unto the Supreme Lord and become his devotee, but the Mayavad philosophy misleads one to defy the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and pose oneself as the Supreme Lord. Thus, it has misguided hundreds of thousands of innocent men. In the Vedanta Sutras, Vyasadeva has described that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is potent, and that everything material or spiritual is but an emanation of his energy. The Lord, the Supreme Brahman, is the origin or source of everything, janmadyasya taha, and all other manifestations are emanations of different energies of the Lord. This is also confirmed in the Vishnu Purana. Ekadesha sthithasya agne jyotsna vistarini yatha parasya brahmana shaktisthatedham akhilam jagat. Whatever we see in this world is simply an expansion of different energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is exactly like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it is situated in one place. End of translation of that verse. This is a very vivid analogy. Similarly, it is stated that just as everything in the material world exists in the sunshine, which is the energy of the sun, so everything exists on the basis of the spiritual and material energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, although Krishna is situated in his own abode, and you are situated in the entranceway, so better you move in a bit. Goloka eva nivasatya khilatma bhutaha, where he enjoys his transcendental pastimes with the cowherd boys and gopis. He is nevertheless present everywhere, even within the atoms of the universe. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. This is the verdict of the Vedic literature. Unfortunately, the Mayavad philosophy, misguiding people by claiming the living entity to be the Lord, has created havoc throughout the entire world and led almost everyone to godlessness. By thus covering the glories of the Supreme Lord, the Mayavadi philosophers have done the greatest disservice to human society. It is to counteract these most abominable activities of the Mayavadi philosophers that Lord Chaitanya has introduced the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. End of that translation. People should simply engage in the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, for thus they will gradually come to understand that they are not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as they have been taught by the Mayavadi philosophers, but are eternal servants of the Lord. As soon as one engages himself in the transcendental service of the Lord, he becomes free. Mang chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. End of that translation. Therefore, the Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is the only light for the foolish living entities who think either there is no God or that if God exists, he is formless and they themselves are also God. These misconceptions are very dangerous and the only way to counteract them is to spread the Hare Krishna movement. This narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tangling with the Mayavadis of Varanasi appears in the introductory section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami begins Chaitanya Charitamrita, obviously begins it with Mangalacharan, in which there is Vastu Nirdesh, Ashirvad, and what's the other thing? Namaskar, yeah. Which there is ascertainment of the subject to be discussed. There is offering obeisance to the deity whom one derives strength from, who in this case is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in five features. And there is offering blessing to the reader that they will benefit from studying this. So this is all in the introductory section. And in the Vastu Nirdesh, the ascertainment of the subject. The subject is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in five features, which includes Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadha, Srivasa, Adi Gaur, Bhaktivrinda. And who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Why he has come to this world is given in synopsis and later in this Adi Leela section. It is discussed in some detail. The fact that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in five features, panchatattvatmakam krishnam bhakta rupa swarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakyam namami bhakta shaktikam, is the specific subject of this chapter. It's quite complex understanding. It's not immediately apparent how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's already been described how the Supreme... Anyway, I'll just come to the point I wanted to make without giving a whole introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita. The point is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has introduced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna Radha Bhavadyoti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who has appeared with the bodily effulgence and the feelings of Srimati Radharani to relish the bliss of himself and to distribute that to others. So he is, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur expressed in English, the apostle of divine love. And for those who know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, within the broader Hindu tradition, they think of him as like that, spreading love, bhakti. However, we find here in this section, which is the introductory section to Chaitanya Charitamrita, before the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are narrated in detail, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not appear to be speaking very lovingly. He is condemning the Mayavad, the idea. Well, particularly the Mayavad, there are several features to that, and particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is condemning the feature of Mayavad by which the jiva, the infinitesimal living being, is presumed to be supreme. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is condemning this. And in the purport, there is more analysis of why it should be condemned. And there are some very strong statements. The most abominable activities of the Mayavadi philosophers. That's one of them. And there's another. Mayavad has misguided hundreds and thousands of innocent men. The entire philosophy is based on a misunderstanding. It misguides people to become atheists whose mission of life in life is unfulfilled. So it's no love for the Mayavadis, it seems. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has the greatest love for Mayavadis, but his love is expressed in chastisement, which is not readily understood by people who have a very superficial understanding of love, and that superficial understanding of love is marketed by Mayavadis. So you'll find Mayavadis, they talk about a lot about love and compassion, and in the modern world we have this, what is it, empathetic listening and all this kind of thing, which, what else they say? Manava seva is Madhava seva. Service to man is service to God. And various slogans, but they don't, which is all very good. After all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the apostle of divine love. Love is what it's all about. Love is all you need. All you need is love. As expressed in modern flippant attempts at philosophy. But what is that love? That's discussed in great detail in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is the postgraduate study of spiritual understanding. And succinctly, it's put, and actually this point is to be understood even from the beginning, if one is to enter into Krishna consciousness, the crucial point, that Atendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kam Krishnendriya Priti Ichad Hare Premanam. That the desire to satisfy one's own senses is called kama, or material desire. And the desire to satisfy Krishna's transcendental senses, that is called prema, or pure divine love. So it's this love which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to give, and without defining or understanding what that love is, even though one may have a long beard and have a dreamy smile on his face and giggle and say, love, it's all rascaldom, actually. Because it purports to give the highest spiritual understanding, which is love, but they don't give it. They don't give it to Krishna. It's all meant for Krishna. And then by loving Krishna, then we can love all others. But if we purport to love all others without loving Krishna, it's just a fraud and a farce. And it's actually envious of Krishna, because avoiding Krishna, we are constitutionally related with Krishna. We cannot ever sever that bond, but we can avoid it. And so to speak of love and compassion and mercy and kindness and be nice and smile and all these kind of things without understanding that Krishna is the center, it's just another expression of rejection of Krishna. And although it may feel spiritual, and many people they like to feel spiritual, but there's a difference between feeling spiritual and actually being spiritual. Being spiritual means to act in our constitutional position, understanding what it means to be spiritual. It's not just some kind of feeling, some kind of feeling of cosmic love. But it's specific that we are living beings distinct from this body with no actual relationship with anything in this material world. Therefore, love defined in terms of this material world is also just, it's a fraud. It binds us in this material world. And we are eternal parts and parcels. Vibhinangsha, please turn off your cell phones. We are eternal parts and parcels of Krishna. We are his eternal servants. So this is the proper understanding of what it means to be spiritual. But by attempting to promote spirituality without promoting Krishna, then the Mayavadis are misleading others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking very strongly. Actually, traditional Mayavadis, they would be used to that. The modern so-called Mayavadis, they've made this love all and be non-judgmental. That's another thing coming out of the Mayavad stool pit. Non-judgmentalism. But in traditional Mayavad, it's based or purports to be based upon Shastra. And the Shastric tradition is one of ascertainment. What is the message of Shastra? And there is this kind of philosophical discourse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has entered into with the Mayavadis. That was part of the Vedic culture. And the Mayavadis, they're not, the traditional Mayavadis are not strangers to intense philosophical discourse. And they themselves especially were very dismissive of Buddhism, which was prominent. Shankara, he came to drive out Buddhism, and the Varanasi is a Mayavadi stronghold, was and is, and just practically a suburb of Varanasi is Saranath, which is a place of the Buddhists. So they had lots of fun discussing with each other. They're not strangers to this kind of spirited philosophical discourse. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very strong. He didn't just dismiss and say, you're a bunch of rascals, but he said, you are a bunch of rascals, and here's why. He didn't just say that they were rascals, but he explained why. That their philosophy is most misleading. Because by representing the jiva to be the same as the Supreme Personality of God, to be the Supreme, they don't say Supreme Personality, they'll say Supreme. It's not true. And it causes us to be locked into material existence, even if we imagine that we are liberated, or even if we do get some kind of partial liberation. That is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, yenye rvindaksha vimukta maninas. This is Lord Brahma addressing Krishna about those who think that they are completely liberated. And tvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya. But actually their consciousness, although it's pure, it may be pure to get liberated or even partially liberated, one, there has to be purification of consciousness. One has to be free of kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya, lust, greed, anger, envy, pride and illusion, and everything else, all the bad qualities. So they have to get free of that, but still they're not fully purified. Because even though aruhya kritrena parang padam, they ascend to the highest stage or the spiritual jurisdiction by very difficult sadhana, but tataha, from there, parang padang tata, then what's the next line? Gachantya. Patanti adho anadrita yushmadangrayam. They fall down. Falling is always down, but it's emphasized. Patanti adha. They fall down. Because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. So it's a mistake. Even if one does get free from all the bad qualities, then unless one develops the good quality of ardor, of respect to Krishna's lotus feet, then that is the mother of all bad qualities. So one cannot remain in that position. One must fall down, even after undertaking so much difficulty to go up. So it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great kindness that he speaks like this. He wants to give love of God, but the Mayavadis, they're not very willing to accept that. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Varanasi, he was chanting and dancing as usual. Chanting means chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Chanting Hare Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Ram Srimad Husudan. And he was chanting in various ways. And thousands of people were attracted to him because he is attractive. But the Mayavadis, they were not only not attracted, but they were offensive. And they thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing a great disservice by chanting and dancing like this. He is undermining the sanctity of the sannyas ashram. Sannyasis are supposed to be grave, reserved, studious. They don't mix with the common people in the streets, and especially not by jumping up and down and making music of any kind. What to speak of this banging and clashing. So they were offensive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to discuss with them, and he didn't immediately start discussing with them, but he made a situation in which they would be at least somewhat inclined to hear him by behaving with them. Well, actually, first of all, he just avoided them, but then later he came and met them, and he acted with them very politely in such a manner that they were surprised, because they didn't expect sannyasis to be very humble. It appears they weren't prepared for that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disarmed them, so to speak, by his humility, because they were not humble. It wasn't a quality that they were cultivating. And it must be difficult to be humble when you think you're God, unless you are actually God. So they think they're God by taking sannyas. Dandagrihena matrena naro narayana bhavit. That's one of their sayings, that simply by a man accepting a stick, which means here a tridanda of a sannyasi, no, not a tridanda, a danda, ekadanda of a sannyasi, then a man becomes God. So they think they're God, which they're not. But humility is not something which they stress on. So they were surprised and charmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who further showed some Aishvarya Prakash. He showed some opulence of himself. He revealed to them that although they think that they are Narayana, he himself, although speaking, telling them that, I'm not fit to sit among you. Ami hoi heen shampraday. I'm of a lesser category of sannyasi than you. So it's not fitting that I sit among you. He was so humble. But then he showed some effulgence from his transcendental form by which they could understand that although they imagine themselves to be Narayan, he is actually Narayan. So they became somewhat open to listen to him. Not that they agreed with his philosophy on the spot. He still discussed with them. So in the discussion, this is the discussion going on, he says, this is extremely degraded to state that the jiva, who is infinitesimal, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is infinite, to say that they are the same, to say that the jiva is supreme. And actually the Mayavad philosophy, there are so many holes in it. It's practically, there's nothing. It becomes a net, another kind of Maya Jal. We're in the net of Maya, and the Mayavad is another. Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahmanam. It's simply talking and talking, so many words, and we get lost in a great forest of words, and then our consciousness becomes completely bewildered. It's not at all clear. It's not even slightly clear how the jiva, or that means I, me, and you, I am God. Now you can say that, I am God, but it has no synchronization with reality on any platform whatsoever except in our imagination. It's like the rabbit's horns. You can imagine a rabbit has horns, but there are no rabbits with horns. So it's just in your imagination. So the jiva is not the supreme in any way whatsoever. So it's not clear. And therefore they have a complex philosophy to try to explain this. But because it's wrong, then it doesn't work. And a philosopher, another philosopher will come along and point out that it's wrong. And therefore you get, within this philosophy that all is one, there are many, many different permutations of that philosophy. How is it all one? Because it doesn't make any sense. If I say that I am you and you are me and we are all together, it sounds, to someone who's stupid, nice. But it has no actual substance. I am not you. And luckily for you, you are not me. And we are all together, well, in one sense, but it's all undefined and vague. As long as we keep it like that, we can imagine it. But it has no practical substance to it. So, I am you. So invite Mayavadi to a meal and say, come hungry, because there's going to be lots of food. So invite him and then sit down with a big plate and eat it all yourself. And don't give any to him and say, well, I am you and I just ate. It doesn't, and they'll say, well, that's, we're the same, that's in this world, it's, there's vyavaharik, and then you go on and on, just all blabber. Ultimately, it's just sophisticated blabber. But at the end of it all, when I'm hungry, I eat, and if you're hungry, my eating won't help you in the slightest to mitigate your hunger. So there are so many problems with the logical problems with the Mayavad philosophy. Whereas the Krishna consciousness is very straightforward and clear that we are not the body. It's not difficult to understand. We are not in our proper situation in the material world. We're suffering. We don't belong here. We are controlled. There is a supreme controller. We are meant to be happy. There is a state of happiness, eternal happiness, that is in the service of Krishna, who's the supreme. So you don't have to make this very elaborate philosophical analysis, because it's natural and it's easy to understand. Whereas it's actually impossible to understand how the jiva is God, because he's not. As much as you try to imagine, rabbits don't have horns. You can go on imagining it all your life, and there's another kind of Mayavad philosophy. If you desire something strongly enough, you have enough willpower, you can make it happen. But you can go on concentrating your whole life and with a pet rabbit, and it still won't grow horns. It's an impossibility. So these are the kind of mad things that come out of this Mayavad, that just by your willpower you can make clouds vanish, and you just desire it enough and you'll become a billionaire, and all rubbish ideas. So we say, wait a minute, we're supposed to be talking about love, isn't it? Chaitanya Charitamrita especially, it should be all love. Yeah, love. But first you have to get the garbage out of the way. Before we have love, let's clean up the place a bit. There's everything should be clean and nice. Means philosophically, clean. No bad ideas. The material world is full of bad ideas. It's all based on the bad idea that we are separate from Krishna. We are separate and joyous. And Mayavad is a hoax that makes us think that we're spiritual when ultimately we're being material. Because it's the same misconception that we are independent from Krishna. And it is, you can say, semi-spiritual, because it has some of the important features of actual spirituality. Understanding that these kam, krodh, lobh, all these are bad, these are not good, we should not cultivate them. So it has many of the features of actual spiritual life, but at the end it's just a rocket that goes up and comes down, makes a big firework display and fizzles out and falls down, because it is not on the actual platform of knowledge. So we find that the Vaishnava acharyas, they're always strongly against Mayavad, because even in Krishna consciousness, it's or apparent Krishna consciousness, it's easier to sidetrack ourselves and remain mixed up with the poison of Mayavad, rather than to undergo the commitment and hard work, actually, of surrendering to Krishna. Hard work, well, what's the hard work? Chanting, dancing. But there's hard work also, hard work of strenuously trying to clean the heart, of surrendering to Krishna. For us it seems difficult because we are conditioned by wrong ideas. It demands commitment, surrender. Mostly people try to avoid this, anything difficult. So it does seem difficult to us because we have so many material attachments. So Mayavad is a way in which, well, when you say Mayavad, it's not all one. There are different strains of Mayavad. There are different people saying it's all one, but in different ways. So much, especially in the modern world, and these traditional Mayavadis in Varanasi who are being discussed here, they were actually very serious about their nonsense. But this Mayavad today, people, more nonsensical and not even serious about it. They've made it, taking this idea that, well, everything's all one and we're all God and you just have to understand you're God and feel yourself one with the universe, and in various ways they say all these things. But they're not strenuously trying for any spiritual advancement, and they would decry any strenuousness anyway, because they just feel good and all this. But then feel good for them means to snuggle up with their girlfriend, for instance. So it just comes back to gross materialism. I remember the first time I read this chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in one purport Srila Prabhupada writes that both the Mayavadis of Varanasi and the Buddhists of Sarnath are actually gross materialists. I'm surprised. How are they gross materialists? They don't seem to be. But their philosophy ultimately leads to that. It apparently takes us up, but it keeps us within the consciousness of not being a servant of Krishna. And that, whichever philosophical somersaults we make, it all ends up in the consciousness of Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi, the demoniac way of thinking that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, I am perfect, powerful and happy without Krishna. So there are many defects in Mayavad, many, many, riddled with. And that's an important part of the mission of the Vaishnava Acharyas, to debunk, decry and defeat this misleading philosophy so as to establish the proper understanding that we are all servants of Krishna. At the present time, in the Western world especially, there's a big push for atheism. But Srila Prabhupada states here in this purport that it's Mayavad that leads to atheism. And he actually said that, Srila Prabhupada said that, Mayavad is more dangerous than atheism. So it leads to that. Because there is not any clear knowledge of the personality of Godhead, then any attempts at knowledge of God must be unclear. And then we get all kinds of strange ideas in the name of God and in the name of theology. For instance, that all the suffering in the world, the toothache that you have and the genocides and earthquakes and the fact that everyone has to die and all the tremendous suffering since time immemorial is all caused because our original forefather ate an apple. That's what I was taught. That was my theological training at the age of about 6. So that's just one example of extremely poor theology, because people don't have any real knowledge of who is God, what is our relationship with Him, why are we suffering in this world, how can we become free from that suffering. So, as the slogan says, the truth will set us free. The truth means actual knowledge as opposed to that which appears to be knowledge but which is another kind of illusion. Ritertam yat pratiyate na pratiyate achatmani. Then, what's the next line? Yatabha samyato tamaha. Now I got the fourth line there. Yadvidyadatmanomayam. Any knowledge which is conceived of without a relationship with Krishna, it's a flickering in the darkness, but it doesn't give us the actual light that we need. So this knowledge should be understood and propagated. Ignorance is the cause of all suffering in this world, which Srila Prabhupada, he used to pronounce it, ignorance. Ignorance means ignorance of Krishna, ignoring Krishna. Anyway, there are so many things to be said, again and again, so many points. Here's the right understanding. Srila Prabhupada has quoted, Mangchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. The actual process to get liberated is to engage in unflinching devotional service. Then one becomes free from the modes of material nature and situated in the transcendental position. So, any questions, please? All right, I saw your hand first. Please. All right, thank you. That's the perfunctory thank you for the wonderful class at the end of the class. You've tried to get in the mindset of someone who thinks that he's God. Oh, you're very lucky that you're a born devotee. You can't, even though you try, you can't think that you're God. Human what? Sorry?
Human brain.
The human brain was never meant to realize the truth.
That's right.
Hmm.
So, under those circumstances,
I don't know about that.
Not possibly think that he has got the divine attributes of omnipotence, omniscience.
How is it? Yeah, it's a very good question. How is it possible that someone's walking around with a toothache and thinking that I am omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent? There's a one-word answer to that question. It's called Maya. It's an amazing illusion. It's not only the man who's maybe doesn't have a toothache, maybe he has all good looks, a lot of money. But most people who have good looks and a lot of money, they don't even think philosophically much at all. It's only the people who don't have all these things. They don't have a fast car and a pretty wife and lots of money, so instead they just imagine they're God. But it's not only the humans, even the maggots crawling around in the garbage, they think the same thing. Maybe not in a very developed way, but it's the same mentality. It's amazing, isn't it? Can I explain that to you? How we think like that? No, I can't. It's not explained. It's amazing, isn't it?
But it's certainly this concept did not come from Shankara himself.
No.
I don't think this is the domain of the realist, you know. So
the Mayavada, of course, Shankara, he didn't invent that, but he gave it philosophical form at that particular point in time.
For example,
did he give?
Gave it.
He gave it credence, yes and no. I mean, definitely in Shankara's teachings, there's, as we read here, he says that the jiva, he establishes the jiva to be the same as Ishvara. So he does establish that. But then elsewhere, if we read, we can understand. Actually, it's all explained in this chapter, Chaitanya Charitamrita, with the purports, how he was ordered by Lord Shiva was ordered by Narayana to spread this philosophy for a certain purpose, because people who are born in Kali Yuga have that sinful mentality and it's what they want. So he wrote that, but then in many places he indicated also that he's actually a devotee. And at the beginning of his Gita Bhasha, in the very first verse, in his Gita Bhasha he established all this Mayavad, but then in the very first verse he says, Narayana Paro Vyakta. He says that everything is ultimately avyakta, unmanifest, but Narayan is superior to that. So if you just stop to think, then everything he says is about the oneness of everything is qualified or actually undermined by that statement, because Narayan is superior to all of this. So we really need a good study of write a book on the real Shankara, real Shankaracharya, what his actual message is. He spoke that philosophy with a certain purpose. And it does have a purpose even for Vaishnavas, because he reestablished within India at that time the relevance of the Vedas, because it had been undermined by the attacks of Buddhists especially and Jains. But he accepted more or less, in many ways, the philosophy of the Buddhists, but he superimposed it on the Vedic knowledge, the Upanishadic knowledge. So having established the Vedas, then the Vaishnava Acharyas came along and said, yes, the Vedas are right, but what Shankara says, that's not what the Vedas say. And they established that the actual message of the Vedas is Vishnu Bhakti. So it all has a purpose. And actually Shankara, reified, he gave form to the vague idea that everyone in the material world has, that I am God. And he gave them a philosophy. And he gave a philosophy, and then the Vaishnava Acharyas, that gave them a platform to knock it down and say that this is the actual philosophy. So the ideas which are there latent in everyone's consciousness, he made them concrete, and then he set the stage up for the Vaishnava Acharyas to come and point out how they're wrong. All these ideas are wrong. So he did the service in that way also. But it is amazing, huh? It's amazing how we can think we're God.
Actually, one possible explanation of this came from a very unlikely source in Paris some years ago.
Mm.
This was the violinist, Yehudi
Menuhin.
As you probably know, he was very interesting in Shastra himself.
Mm.
A great friend of Jawaharlal Nehru.
Mm.
And you would ask the same question, why is it some people think they're prophets?
Mm.
And he gave a very nice explanation.
Yeah, please tell us. Tell us quickly though, because other people have questions. Okay, say it quickly then, please. Yehudi Menuhin, the great violinist, said.
Yes, he said, he didn't say that this is the reason, but he said that this is possibly one of the reasons. He said that people, when deities are being decorated here, for example, basically it is not this. What is happening is that you are, or the people who are doing this job, they are actually decorating the deity which is in their heart.
So,
that being so, that in many traditions, for example, in Ramakrishna Mission, the whole idea is...
There are other questions,
yes,
if you don't mind.
Yes. Thank you.
Don't mind. Afterwards we can talk more, but there are other people.
Yes. You talked about love, that many people's idea of love is quite fuzzy. So I was just wondering that, is it possible that the so-called love and care between devotees may also have a fuzzy idea, or on the other side it may be that...
Fuzzy love and care. Is it possible that devotees also have this?
Let's say maybe too impersonal and cold, so how do you not have fuzzy love?
We can have the ministry of love.
I guess the question is, what does it...
George Orwell, the ministry of love. You know what the ministry of love does? They're the ones who oppress everyone and make wars in the George Orwell story. Is that right? There's the ministry of love, the ministry of truth, and the ministry of peace. I can't remember. So, yeah, you can't institutionalize it. Love means we help each other to be Krishna conscious. There was one book I read in Bengali, written by Gauriamat Sanyasi, which was the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, and then right down to the present time. So he gave the biography of Srila Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj, who was the first sannyasi of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he gave the biography of his own guru also, Udulomi Maharaj. But this devotee who wrote this, he was, he had a lot more personal association with Tirtha Maharaj. So he wrote all the story, and then he wrote how he was very heavy. He used to be a teacher in a school, headmaster, and he would beat the devotees with a stick. You're not allowed to do those things, but he used to do that. If they would, for instance, fall asleep when chanting japa, and would have a lot of bruises, if that was allowed nowadays. So he was very, very strict, and he wouldn't allow any little transgression. So this devotee wrote about all of that, and then at the end of his biography, he said, "And I desire his association, life after." He could really appreciate how the devotee was writing it. I mean, he really loved Tirtha Maharaj, and it wasn't something. Yes, we love him because we got trained in the Bhakti Shastri course, you're supposed to love, and all this kind of thing. But it was heartfelt. And it was specifically stated, and Tirtha Maharaj was famous for that, of being very heavy, very, very heavy. But the devotees appreciated that he did that out of love, because he wanted them to be Krishna conscious. So that shouldn't be imitated, but that kind of love is much more real than this smiling at people and saying, "I love you," with nothing behind it. So love and care of devotees, yes, should be there, but you can't legislate it or institutionalize it. It has to be real, isn't it? And it's unfortunate that if we have to make a ministry of love and preach it to everyone, which means that it's the real natural thing is probably lacking if we have to talk about it all the time. Who has really tight relationships? You find the soldiers, they're in the army together, they're fighting together, and they're risking lives for each other. They don't sit around talking about relationships. But they're tighter than any people can be, because they're together serving the mission. So if we're tight together and serving the mission and dedicating together, then we won't have to have all these psychological seminars. So you also have to say something. Mayavad is more dangerous than atheism. Yeah. They're both equally damaging. Why is Mayavad more dangerous than atheism? Well, Mayavad is a form of atheism, but atheism is just saying there's no God. But Mayavad gives you the impression that you are God. That's worse. To say there's no God is bad enough, but to imagine that we are God, that's worse. Isn't that obvious? Well, that they'll say there is God, but then they say God has no form. We are all God. I mean, the atheists have a clearer idea of God than the Mayavadis do, who speak about God. They have a clearer idea, because they say this is the God we don't believe in. But the Mayavadis, they say we believe in God, but it's just some undefined, nebulous idea. So the Mayavadis actually misrepresent God more than the atheists actually in many ways do a good job of defining God. Otherwise, how it's difficult to say that you don't believe in something that, but you don't have any idea of what it is. It's not very meaningful to not believe in something which is not defined. So first of all, you have to define it, then you can say you don't believe in it. But the Mayavadis, they believe in it, but they don't define it. So they're in a worse position. The scientists, they say we only believe what is real if we can define it. If it can be defined, then it's real. And the Mayavadis, they say that, well, reality is undefinable. So in that sense, we're closer to the scientists. But they don't accept the spiritual dimension, which isn't a very scientific proposition. Anyway, that's another discussion altogether. Oh, Hare Krishna, any other question, comment, anything? Yeah.
Many years ago, in India, I was hearing a discourse maybe from a Mayavadi. He gave an analogy that...
Mayavadi gave an analogy. Yeah, they give lots of analogies, and they're usually flawed. Yeah, go on.
They said, as all the rivers merge into the ocean...
All the rivers merge into the ocean. Wow, that's an unusual one. That's the standard Mayavadi. All the rivers merge into the ocean, yeah? At the time of death, all the Atmas merge into the Paramatma. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask, do the Mayavadis accept the concept of the Paramatma which is distinct from the Atma?
Do the Mayavadis accept the concept of the Paramatma as distinct from the Atma? Well, their whole philosophy is indistinct. It all rests on indistinctness. They say the Atma and Paramatma, it's all ultimately one because we're all going to merge into that. So if they say we're all going to merge into it, then why bother with your philosophy anyway? If anyway we're all going to merge, then just drink a beer and enjoy life. Why bother being a Mayavadi? Why waste your time? If anyway you're just going to merge in, why bother? And if Atma and Paramatma are the same, then why are there two words? Param means it's of a different category. There are so many problems with their philosophy. It's just nonsense from beginning to end. Any questions from the ladies' side? No. All right.
This is just on the point of the Mayavadi being worse than the atheist.
You found a quote from Prabhupada? Okay, read it. 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, purport.
This path is recommended in this chapter. Therefore, there is no doubt that devotional service is the only actual path of self-realization for the attainment of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, as described in this chapter, is recommended only up to the time one surrenders himself for self-realization. In other words, as long as one does not have the chance to associate the impersonal conception may be beneficial. In the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, one works without the results, meditates and cultivates knowledge to understand spirit.
So what's the question?
So here it seems that Prabhupada is saying until one associates with devotee, the impersonal conception is beneficial.
Impersonal conception beneficial, yeah, in some ways. It's better to have, in some ways it's better to have some conception of spiritual life than just to be a gross materialist. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave respect to the Mayavadi sannyasis. Inasmuch as they are at least superficially dedicated towards studying the Shastra, cultivating spiritual life, living in a holy place. So we may do also. If we meet actual Mayavadis who are following principles, We may offer them respect. But they should listen to us. Just like who we saw on TV, when was that, yesterday, this Ramadev? So he was Baba Ramdev, so he was saying some things. What was that? I didn't see that. You said he was saying about there should be four varnas. Then he went on to all this stuff, the Kisiko Nafarat Nekarna and all this. Nothing to say. Love everyone, don't hate anyone, be nice to all. There's nothing there. What about Krishna? What about Rama? You got the name Rama Deva. What about him? So no doubt he's better than Hitler, to give an extreme example. And there's some benefit there. If people do yoga, they have some physical benefit. He said some good thing about this Asaram. He said sadhus should keep away from women. So they say some good things, we don't deny that, but they should tell us about Krishna. Without that, it's Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. It's Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam, but at the same time, because there is at least superficial respect of the Vedic culture, that is beneficial. As we find that people who have a background of Vedic culture, they're generally more inclined to accept Krishna consciousness than people who don't. Which is why we have so many Indian, people of Indian descent here. Because they already have some background. So it has some advantages. Some bigger zeros than the non-Vedic zeros. You put the one in front, the Krishna one, then it becomes meaningful. But without Krishna, then it's all zero. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.